Well, I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce you to our guest speaker today, Brother Stan Rodebaugh. He is the moderator of the District of Illinois and Wisconsin, former pastor of the Dixon Church, and resides in Dixon. And we're just happy that he is here with us, and we need to be lifting Brother Stan up in prayer as district conference is getting ever so close, and it'll be in Highland Avenue. We encourage you all to go, but let's give Brother Stan our ears and our hearts.
Should be gone. You on 10?
Testing, 1, 2, 3. There we go. I'm sorry, I seem to have a frog lodged in my throat this morning, and after all the hymns we sang, I thought surely it would clear up, so maybe if I really blow out the pipes, I'll try not to be a boomer speaker today. I don't have that deep bass voice. Anyway, maybe this will help it sound a little lower. I'd like to begin with sharing the scripture with you, and we'll be looking together at the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. It's actually the verses and the scripture I've picked for the theme for district conference this year, and I thought it's okay to go ahead and preach on it because probably everybody in the church isn't going to go to district conference, and it's a text that we could probably work on for a long time together and still get lots of fruit from it. I will begin with verse 1. Jesus, it's a quote, direct quote from Jesus. If you have the red lettered Bible, you'll be seeing it's all red here. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean," and this word clean is the same word that's translated prune. Just so you know, so it makes more sense to say you're already pruned because of the word I have spoken to you. And I'll just begin preaching right now. You might begin reflecting on, are you really willing to be pruned if you begin to think about that? Oh, I see here. Thank you, Leonard. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I don't usually have this trouble. But I don't think you want to hear that rasp all.
There's a place underneath.
Oh, I see it. Dana wouldn't have any trouble at all, would he? I should have done a dry run, you know, and went through everything. But it's the pruning, the concept of Jesus by his word, pruning. And it says we're pruned or we're clean because of the word that he has spoken to us. He says this, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself," as we learned in our children's message. "It must," these are words we don't commonly use anymore in our culture. We're not supposed to use these, you know. Not shouldn't be must. Nothing's must, right? But he says, "It must," that branch, "must remain in the vine." And he says, "Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Now, if you begin to look at this text, I have been looking at it this year, but it's important, I think, to notice where it appears, where it comes in the Gospel of John. Most of us have friends, family, people we've known who have passed away. Well, Jesus, at this point, is preparing his disciples for his death, on the cross. And you notice, if you go back, and I know you don't all have your Bibles in your hands, so this would be my assignment, so that you have something to take home with you, right? Yay, an assignment! That's what everybody was waiting for. But I would suggest that it would be an interesting exercise to read from the beginning of chapter 13, where Jesus washes his disciples' feet, and then read on through to the end of chapter 17. I think that all of this teaching is kind of a unit. It fits together, and there's themes that recur. You might have picked up as I read to you that the gospel, John, the writer John, tradition has it that he and Andrew, I guess, kind of came before the Lord, and they were praying, and John came out of their joint effort to write what the Spirit led them to write, that hadn't maybe all these thoughts hadn't been shared in before. And you do notice the Gospel of John's a little bit unique among the Gospels, right? I call it John weaves thoughts. And I found that I used to memorize scripture to present in church. Well, if you have a beginning paragraph, opening paragraph, and point one, point two, point three, point four, and then a closing, that's pretty easy to memorize that. But if you weave the thoughts and you introduce a thought here and then you come down and introduce it back here and then other thoughts weave in with it back and forth, they're not a real nice outline. Try memorizing those scriptures. It is more difficult. You can do it, but you really have to know it. I guess that's why I said there's a difference between memorizing and learning by heart. And I always said, I'd hope we'd learn it by heart. But did you listen as I read the scripture? I know you had it on the screen. How many times did Jesus use the word remain? I know you weren't counting. I counted it, and I could be wrong, but it's close to 10. And that's quite a few times in just 17 verses. And so you might assume that remaining, or I like the word, the older word that's used, abide. That's why in the theme for conference, I used abide in the vine, abide in my love. because I don't know, abide just has more character to it, doesn't it? It does for me. But it's 10 times. And then, how many times you suppose did you hear the word fruit or fruitful? 9. Another time, a lot. And how many times did he mention the word love? I counted 9. So I'd say we begin to say Jesus has something important to say here. Because of the context, it's the last things. The last things we share with someone just before we're going to go, his disciples. He's wanting to make sure they're ready. And these things are very important. And he's packed this particular group of verses to overflowing. And he's, you notice the repetition about the remaining. Do you know how to abide or how to remain in Jesus? Do we know how to do that? Now, it's clearly, he makes it very clear that abiding in him or remaining in the vine, remaining in Jesus, remaining in his love is absolutely essential. It's not optional. Did you catch that? It's not like, well, this is one thing you could try, is it? He's saying you can bear no fruit if you don't remain in the vine. And he also suggests, I'll bring it back, that if we allow Jesus, it's important for Jesus' words, for his own words to remain in us. Did you catch that? That we remain in him, and then his words, it's important for them to remain in us. He says, then he says, you do that, and if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. And he says, this is to my Father's glory. So I want to point some things out. I know this isn't a real barn burner message, but I want to point some things out that I think if we get a hold of it can nurture our relationship with the Lord Jesus. And we'll end up in the place where I think most everybody, it's really easy to say, I want to love everybody. I want to love, I love that idea of loving one another, right? So how do we get there? And that's what Jesus is telling us. One of the ways that we get there is to remain in him, his words remain in us, and then we can talk to the Father. And we can ask for what we want. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Now, if we're in Jesus and his words are in us, what are we going to ask for? I think we're going to ask for the very things Jesus says we can receive in him. Amen? In other words, remain in his love, right? And then he says, I love this. Then he says, why did he tell us this? He says, I told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Oh, do you like joy? Joy is a very important concept for Jesus. If you go on and read through these texts, I could say in the next chapter and 16, he's saying about verse 20, he says, I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice and no one will take away your joy. This is like, I like to have handles, okay? Do you ever try to pick a human being up that can't help themselves? Man, I mean, they have to get belts, you know, these canvas belts or whatever to put around people so we don't, you know, especially as we're elderly, that's usually when we need it. You go to try to lift someone under their shoulder or something, you could break a collarbone very easily. And so humans don't come with handles, but it's a lot easier to lift things if we have handles. So I like that term. I like if I'm preaching and sharing, I'm not so much care whether you think I'm a great preacher, but I'd like for you to have some handles to get a hold of the message so you could get the message from Jesus. This truth could become a part of you. You know, you'd be transformed by the things he wants to do in you. And so that's why I'm saying I'm trying to give handles here. But he wants us, it's important for us to experience his joy. And how do you experience joy? How are we going to do that? You see, how are we going to get to access all this stuff? This is my point that Jesus is talking about. How am I going to become a more loving person? How am I going to remain in his love? Now, are you remaining in anybody's love right now? I'm guessing, hopefully, most of you, you're remaining in your mother's love. In other words, the way I'm going to interpret this is, if you grew up in a home and your mother knew how to love you, knew how to take care of you, keep you warm and cuddled, and spend enough time, gucci-gucci-goo and peeky-boo, right? Because that builds joy in a little child. And then as we get older, that the mom and dad and mother, someone was cared about you and they listened to what you felt, what it was like to be living your life. And they cared if you were sad. And they helped you find the words for frustrated and upset, you know, and angry. But that you learned to understand that they really cared and loved you no matter what you were going through. If you have a parent like that, I'm guessing no matter when you stop, when you think about your mom, you know she loves you or loved you. Does that ring true? Now, some people grow up and they don't have that experience anywhere. And that's more difficult. But it's important that we have all kinds of negative impacts on our lives, on our relationships, on how we feel about ourselves if we don't know we're loved. That makes sense? So Jesus is telling us we need him. And the way, this is a term that I've used, and the Lord's given me to understand when we're humble. You know, he's like, it's easy to make jokes about humility, but how do we know we're humble? And say, wow, aren't you kind of bragging? You say you're humble or whatever. Well, kind of the litmus test the Lord's helped me with, I just share it because it's a good handle for me. It says, if the way it's come to me is if when I know that I desperately need him. See, if I know that I am in dire straits, I'm really not going to make it, really, without Jesus, that I desperately need his power, his love, his grace, his mercy, his presence active in my life, or it's a dangerous situation. Like he said, the branch, if it's not in the vine, it's just thrown away and it's burned up. It will produce no fruit. Now, for a branch, if you're a branch and you want to bear fruit, and most branches should, that's desperate, you see. What he's describing is a desperation what he's saying is, you have to be in me. And my words must be in you, or things are not going to go well in your life, you see. And so when we get that desperate, what do we do then? Well, I'm suggesting sometimes we try things that we wouldn't normally try. But if we don't think it's a desperate situation, oh, well, yeah, that was a nice scripture today. Come back to it in a year or two. No biggie, right? But if the essence of what Jesus is saying impacts us the way Jesus would want it, the way the Holy Spirit would cause it to impact our hearts if we didn't block it, we would say, wait a second, I really want to pay attention to this. And then when we pay attention to it, what do we do? Do I read it and say, man, I'm just going to have to try to be more fruitful. That's not what Jesus says here, is it? He doesn't say we need to try to be more fruitful. How do we become more fruitful? He says, by remaining in Him. There's a proverb that helps me with this a little bit, and I'll just point out in the chapter 14, verse 1. We usually read that at funerals. I pardon him for reading it today. But he is talking about dying. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. So another way I think he's saying, abide in me. Trust in God. Trust also in me. The Proverbs 3, 6, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You familiar with that? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I think he's describing abiding. And lean not on your own understanding. As soon as I start leaning on my own understanding, I'm not abiding in Jesus. And his words certainly aren't abiding in me, right? Well, that proverb goes, and lean not on your own understanding in all your ways, he says. See, acknowledge him. Right here, we've got it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Well, what part of the day then do I not acknowledge him? You see what I'm saying? Then if it's 24/7, that's abiding. If it's not, then is it abiding or is it hopping in and out? You can have an image of a vine with the branches hopping on and off, right? It's not commonly seen, though. I've never noticed it. You know, where Paul talks about we're being built up together, you know, and I've often thought of the same thing. Well, what if the trouble is we're working with those blocks can hop in and out of there, put one in place, get the mortar in, and say, I don't like this, you know. It doesn't work. It needs to stay there. It needs to abide, see? It needs to stay where Jesus put us, you know. Not for our harm, but for our good. And that we might bear much fruit. And that's what we want to think. And so that what I'm suggesting is we pray this scripture, okay? That we begin to talk to the Lord. It says here twice. It's right in the scripture. It says if we abide in him and his words abide in us, then we can talk to him and ask him for things that we wish. And of course, if we're in him and we want to be fruitful, we're going to ask him to do in us the things he wants to do in us. That's what it means, praying in Jesus' name to me. It doesn't mean go kill that person I hate, right? What he's saying is we can pray for the things that will allow this to come true. So then I'd say, Father, you know, Lord Jesus, I don't know if I'm remaining or I'm not even sure if I quite get that. But see, I'm suggesting then we work with this scripture and talk to the Lord about it, Father God, the gardener, and Jesus, the vine, and say, help me understand inside in a way where I can get it, you know, where it makes sense to me to abide in you. And that's the frustration of preaching is words don't always cut it. And that's a neat thing. That's so when the Lord speaks the truth into us, you know what happens? The very thing somebody else said to us that we couldn't understand, when it's coming from Jesus via the Holy Spirit, it makes sense. And not only that, it changes. It changes us on the inside. And then we act out differently. That's what Jesus is saying here, isn't it? He says, remain in my love. He says, and then the next thing you know, he says, now this is my command, love one another as I have loved you. 1 John, I'll remind you so that you know I'm not venturing way off. 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. So we need that power of his love, the knowing we're loved, his truth, his words working in us to help us become the kind of people that have the capacity, and that's what joy does. As we experience that joy, our capacity is greater. And Hebrews chapter 2 says, this talk about Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. See, that tells me the joy is giving him capacity. Now, I'm thinking the joy before him was thinking of the loving relationship that he was establishing between Father God and us and himself. Does that make sense? And because it's only in relationship that when we're really talking about joy, the joy we're talking about, it comes in a relationship where we know someone's delighted to be with us, where we know we're loved and accepted, not because we earned it. God says we don't earn his love. He gives it to us as grace. You see what I'm saying? And if it doesn't compute, you know, that's why I'm saying it. Some of us say, I have no experience of that. I went to a conference one time. We're supposed to learn to build joy. My wife and I, they're sitting face to face, and we're supposed to remember an experience in our childhood where we experienced joy. She managed to come up with one. And here I thought she had all the problems, but she managed to come up with one. And then when I went to try to find one in my childhood, what are you supposed to happen to me? I was in a puddle of tears. I was just got in touch with a deep part inside of me where there was a lot of sadness and sorrow and loneliness, you see. That was a good thing for me to find out, you see, because I do want to experience joy, you see. But in order to work at these things inside of us, we need to be able to acknowledge, you know what? This isn't making sense to me right now, Lord. Joy, you're talking about joy. What's joy? Talk about capacity? No, I lose it at every turn. All anyone has to do is say something that I think is somewhat critical and I lose it. I feel worthless. Sometimes when they say I'm dumb, I agree with them. You know, I don't even love myself, let alone believe you love me. You see what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, what I'm encouraging, this is really the essence. You can read these words for yourselves. But what I want to encourage you to do is believe that it's worthwhile, that Jesus is telling the truth. And at the very end, he says, I want to read it in verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. See, that's why we know, that's why I'm saying, if he speaks into us, and he does a radical change in us, that change will remain. If I try to do it on my own, what do? We go back to eating the stuff we shouldn't eat, right? We keep slipping back. But when he does that work in us, we don't. That's why we can use the secular methods, and they can be helpful to a point, but they'll never do what Jesus will do. You see what I'm saying? It will last if it's of him. And that's one of the litmus tests. Now, let's say, okay, how am I doing? Is it easy for me to love other people? If it's not, then what do I pray about? Lord Jesus, what's blocking me? Why? I want to think about and feel about them the way you do. Could you do that? Show me how I need to cooperate, what I need to learn. Would we be willing to know and hear those kind of words from the Lord if he wanted to speak them into us? I'm saying, I'll bet you would, because he has a marvelous way. And we want our fruit to last, don't we? We want to be able to continue loving each other. Amen?
Amen.
For it not to be hard. For us to see what, the way I like to put it is, Paul talks about having the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians. I think it's the end of chapter 2, I believe it is. I like to think, Lord Jesus, I want to, I'm looking all of you people, I'm not trying to make you nervous. But see, I'd like to feel and think what Jesus feels and thinks when he sees you. Because you know what? No matter where you are in your life, how you're struggling, he loves you and he delights in you just the way you are. None of the stuff we do that changes us makes him love us anymore. But it is fun to see his spirit work through us and be able to love more and more people with less and less effort, right? And experience the joy of those relationships that are possible now after he's done that work in us. Amen?
Amen.
So I don't know if I'm getting through today or not, but I'm trying to talk about an area that's not always that easy, but I like to call it praying the scriptures. If I'm not there yet, it's not, don't beat up on yourself. God knows you're not there yet. Jesus knows that. Your wife and probably everybody else does. Right? We're the only ones surprised, usually. But if we don't want to stay there where we are and we'd rather remain in Jesus and his words remain in us or abide there, then we talk to him about, say, Lord Jesus, I want what you want to be happening in me. And if Jesus has promised it, and I'd say it, the joy, he promises peace. He says in the world, in the end of chapter 16 here, there'll be trouble in the world. You'll have trouble, but in him we'll have peace. So we can be in the middle of trouble and experience peace. And that's another way we can tell, oh, is this a Jesus thing or is this just something I'm trying to fake? You know? And all I'm saying is take him up on that. And he says in Matthew, you remember, I know for sure, Matthew, you know, come to me, you're weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Well, if I'm not having rest, there's something missing there, and he's promised it, so I just keep talking to him about it. I don't care if it's 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 years, whatever, until it happens, because he promised it, and I believe him. I'm abiding in him. You see what I'm saying? I trust him. So that's my encouragement, is to believe that he promises twice here, that we can't, he wants us to pray. In fact, in the first one, he says, that's one of the ways we show that we're his disciples, Jesus' disciples, by praying and prayers being answered. And I'd say, well, the way they're answered is if we pray for what God wants to do for us and in us and through us. And I'd suggest praying for ourselves that way will do way more to transform this world than praying for everybody else. Because you know what I found is the more God changes me, I used to think my wife was the one with the most problems. She's got her share. But you'd be surprised how much better the relationship was since I just forgot about that. And that was, by the way, that was God, you know, kind of pressing it in my heart. That wasn't an easy lesson to learn. And just said, no, do your work in me. And next thing you know, the relationship's getting better, and whoa, I guess I had some issues, didn't I? And it's a beautiful thing to see it unfold. And what I'm finding is the more I walk with him that way, the more relationships there are that are easier. Goodness, I've got a long ways to go, but I'm not as easily hurt. I'm not as easily offended, you see. I don't as easily feel put down. But that's not me. It's only by the grace of God. It's only by him, you know, me saying, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. That's what I want to share today. If I've gone over, I ask your forgiveness. But, you know, more importantly, what I hope is that the Lord Jesus can use something from this, my sharing from my heart with you about this, that doesn't feel like somebody trying to pound on your head or twist your arm or, you know, I hope, but really what it does, and that's what I prayed for, that somehow the Holy Spirit is getting a chance to say, yeah, or look at this, or did you, you know, that something begins to feel a little different between you and the Lord Jesus, you know, that's real. And you begin to doubt less and trust him more. That's the fruit, you know, I'd like to see, and then I know we'll see this other fruit grow more and more in each of our lives. Isn't that a beautiful concept that we can let him lead us through this, and we can really be a way different person? There was a man, his name was Dan Yutzi, and he was in a car accident, and he died, and he went to be with the Lord. And he was he grew up Amish, and he was in an evangelical Mennonite church I got to remember where I lived, Upland. I've lived so many places, I'm sorry, as a preacher's kid. In Upland, Indiana, across from Taylor University, he's a professor there. But he was such a wonderful man. He was a mentor to me. We were in a worship group with him. And I just sort of like, you know, how people you really, that minister, and you just like, we treat them almost like God, you know. But the Lord brought to my heart the belief that what he did in Dan Utsi, he wouldn't do the same thing, but he could have the same kind of effect in me. In other words, for good. You see what I'm saying? That we could produce fruit that would last. And that's what Jesus is saying for every one of us here. The Lord can do that so that he will bear this fruit of love and answered prayer and joy and remaining in the vine, remaining in his love in that relationship. It's available to everybody. Just because you look at somebody over here, oh my, Jesus has a very unique, beautiful way he wants to kind of help you grow into. You know, as a follower of him. So I'm just hoping you'll get the wind of the Spirit blowing in your sails to fill you with what he believes in you. He more than believes it, what he knows he can do in you if you let him. So let's just pray a little bit here, and then I'll share the benediction or the closing. Let's see, you had a different way. Dana, I'll have to talk to him about this. What did you call it? Sending. That's the way it is in our brethren hymnal. So, Lord, I love you, and you love me, and you love everybody in this congregation. You love everybody on the face of this earth, even the people doing horrible things. You love them, and you died on the cross for everyone. And that's more amazing. That's really very hard for us in our human flesh to get a hold of that, Lord. But I know it's true because in 1 John it says you died for the sins of the whole world. And so I know it's true, and you're able to love every one of us no matter where we are on this planet, and I thank you for that. And Lord, it's my prayer that everyone here this morning I pray they'll, for one thing, they'll forget my name. And they'll remember you, and they'll remember your love and your grace and what you've done, I hope and pray, in their heart and their mind, their spirit this morning from the words and the truth of this scripture that we've kind of gathered around and reflected on together. So, Lord, I pray this with all my heart in your name, true Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, this... do we do the benediction before or after? Pardon?
We'll do a hymn, and then you can do the benediction.
Okay. I should have read more closely, but thank you, Leonard. I'll sing with you.